Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
And good morning. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And Bob is Bob Shorey, one of the MCSEs here at Tab. He comes in, helps me out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. And my goodness, do we have technology news. This is a live show, obviously. And get online early if you can, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. The first hour is usually easier than the second. But my goodness, we have technology news this week. You guys probably heard it in the news. Twitter was pretty seriously hacked. And about 130 high-profile accounts were impacted, where folks like Bill Gates, Jeff Bezos, Joe Biden were sending out messages that said, hey, if you give me $1,000 in fake money, cryptocurrency, I'll give you $2,000 back in fake money. And of course, if you already are involved in fake money, Bitcoin, there's plenty of you ding-dongs out there that fell for it. And you submitted your hard-earned fake money to these hackers because you believed that Joe Biden and Bill Gates and Jeff Bezos were going to give you $2,000 back. This number one. I mean, if you have to pay before you get, you're making a mistake.
Well, you get to pay. You just don't get to get.
Exactly. But it's mind-boggling that people are that. I don't know. I don't want to use the
word.
That
scheme's been around since forever. I mean, you know, how many people have gotten the letter? They used to have letters, and then it morphed into emails from Africa. This person had this money, but in order to get it, he had to pay some sort of a fee.
Right.
So if you fronted him the money from your account,
you'd get millions if you gave him a couple thousand or whatever it was.
Oh,
and a lot of people fall for it. So just, number one, don't fall for that silliness. But number two, here's the scarier part. So these are high-power Twitter accounts. And these folks would most likely have something called two-factor authentication built in. Meaning, if somebody changes the access, like the email system, to connect to these accounts, they should have been notified. But they weren't. I wonder why. That seems odd. Wait a minute. So the cloud, when I put my account on the cloud, I thought that when I modify the account, I'm notified. And if somebody inside the cloud modifies my account, I'm notified. It turns out you're not. I wonder how true that is for other applications in the cloud. I would suspect it's true for all of them. But that's just my guess. But the point is, this should give you pause. So if on Twitter, if an internal Twitter person can be impacted, whether they be bribed, whether they be tricked into giving the bad guys access to a tool that allows the internal Twitter cloud people, whoever they are, do you know who they are, Bob?
I don't have a clue.
I don't know either. To go into your account and change who owns it and the control of it and the access to the data in it without your knowledge, wouldn't that give you pause? It gives me pause. It should give you great pause. So two-factor authentication is supposed to alert you to a change in your account. The tool that Twitter had internally did not alert its users. So they didn't realize they were impacted until, of course, the tweet goes out and they start seeing activity on it. And then, of course, they complain to Twitter and Twitter shuts down the accounts. 130 or so high-powered accounts were impacted. Supposedly, only 8 or so have had data removed. Now, I don't know what kind of data you put on Twitter, but maybe there's things on Twitter you wouldn't be too happy to have out there if you did it by accident. Maybe it's deleted tweets. Maybe you said something really bad that you shouldn't have said on Twitter and it was deleted. Who knows what data is out there that they grabbed? But my point is, if your stuff is in the cloud, it's on somebody else's servers. And if those people who run those servers have access to your account and can make changes without your knowledge, really, what do you have?
So they got Joe Biden, Barack Obama,
right,
and Mike Bloomberg.
Yes. Those three guys. Well, it wasn't their fault. And, of course, you had Bill Gates, Elon Musk,
Kanye
Jeff
West.
Bezos. Yeah. And again, they had to find enough dinglings who had a Bitcoin account willing to give them $1,000 to get 2,000 fake dollars to get 2,000 fake dollars back. That was the whole scam. But you should be more afraid of the fact that the security protocols that you would think would alert you to a change in your account didn't alert you, because the tools within Twitter that were utilized make it so they don't. That's why you should think a little bit about the cloud. And who's got access to your servers? Well, they're not your servers. They're their servers. And the reason I bring this up is because in other news, a cloud provider called Blackbaud. So they're a accounting firm that offers products like Razor's Edge for nonprofit organizations to raise money for their companies. Blackbaud has a cloud-based service. So instead of paying for your own servers internally and having your own internal IT guys manage it, you stick it on the Blackbaud cloud. Well, Blackbaud stopped the ransomware attack that actually started to cripple their servers. But guess what? They had to pay the ransom anyway. Why? Well, because the bad guys, before they encrypted the data, took the data. They took it from Blackbaud's cloud. So if you happen to be in a nonprofit running Blackbaud and your account was compromised, the bad guys took the data from your account and threatened to release it.
You mean they didn't encrypt it on their servers?
Right. It's not encrypted on their servers, clearly. Good point. But they took the data, they've got it, and said to Blackbaud, well, you might have stopped the ransomware attack, but we're still going to ransom you, because if you don't pay us, we're going to release this data to the world. And so Blackbaud had to pay $350,000+ so that the bad guys pinky sweared they wouldn't release it. Good luck. Again, same problem, right? So just because you put it in the cloud doesn't mean you've done anything to protect your data. And if you think you're saving money by not having internal IT people, internal servers, and folks that are going to actually pay attention to your stuff, right? You're a nice big target when it's on a Blackbaud cloud. How many accounts can I impact, Bob, at the same time?
Oh, probably thousands.
Versus individual servers, which then the bad guys have to hit one at a time.
Well, that's too much work.
Huh? I'll go for the big honeypot. So we'll put these stories up here for you to look at. But they both are kind of related to the fact that just because you put it in the cloud doesn't mean it's any more secure. It's actually maybe not many more secure. And you may want to give yourself a second thought as far as what you're doing. What did you want to bring up, Bob?
Okay, since you're bringing that up,
yeah.
I thought I would jump ahead to Cloudflare network outage makes websites unreachable. The internet infrastructure giant helps route web traffic that went awry on Friday. Now,
wow.
Most people don't know who Cloudflare is. But
right.
They're a huge backbone provider on the internet.
They're a DNS provider.
So, several websites became unavailable Friday after Cloudflare experienced outages in parts of its network.
Right.
The problem was caused by a chain reaction in Cloudflare systems for internet routing internet traffic. Affected websites include those for Shopify, Politico, Discord, and League of Legends, and TechCrunch, mm-hmm. according to TechCrunch.
Mm-hmm.
So, according to an incident report, Cloudflare said the outage wasn't the result of an attack.
No.
We believe
just incompetence.
We believe we have addressed the root cause and are monitoring systems for stability now, the company said.
Yeah.
But
here's what they did.
Cloudflare Chief Technology Officer John Graham Cumming gave additional information in a blog post. The company was working on an unrelated issue with its systems and accidentally configured all traffic flowing between its data centers to go through one location in Atlanta.
Oops.
This overwhelmed the system, a backbone of private lines that carries data outside of the public internet, and led to problems at other points in the company's global network of data centers.
Yeah, they broke their own system.
We're sorry for this outage and have already made a global change to the backbone configuration that will prevent it from being able to occur again.
Oh, that's nice.
So,
they
yeah,
fixed
you
it.
Can be, you know, rest assured.
It'll never happen again.
Yeah, they
no,
fixed it.
No, never happen again. They'll never go down again. They promise. One other quick one. Apple wins an EU court battle over unpaid Irish tax bill of $15 billion. Now, we talked about this during the whole Brexit thing, where the Irish had offered huge tax incentives for Apple to operate there. And the EU in Brussels said, no, 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 no. You can't give deals like that. We want our money. And so Apple battled the EU, and they won. I'm really happy about this. Good for them. They're not going to have to pay an additional $15 billion. The Irish didn't want them to pay. I mean, the Irish are the ones that gave them the deal. The EU was the one that wanted Apple to cough up some extra money here, and they said the Irish weren't able to do this deal. But it looks like they've won. I'm sure they're going to continue to battle over the money. Who knows? But for now, Apple won that battle, and I think it's great. We're going to be here until 11 o'clock. We are live. This is Computer Talk with Tab. So we're also broadcasting live over on WTIC's Facebook page. If you want to check out the Facebook live feed, feel free to make a comment or go ahead and post anything you want to post as far as any questions. Be sure to share it out. And I've got there's a comment on here. Bob's audio was low. He's cranked. I've told him every day, you know, you got to get on that mic. So he's cranked. I can't put him up any louder.
I'm on the mic.
You're on. Well, so
I got to yell.
He's got to yell. I can't help him. I have no other knob I can turn here. So sorry, guys. I can't make it any higher. I'm going to go ahead and step up for a quick break. Feel free to get online. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. We are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And he's using the same hardware I am, I promise you. Same mic, everything. Fully pulled to the top. So hopefully you guys can hear him. And we're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to get online. We have four lines wide open. I know it's a lovely Saturday morning, and it's going to get wicked hot out there this afternoon. You're trying to get everything done this morning. But if you want to talk about the cloud, you want to talk about the Twitter hack. I mean, I've seen so many experts on these shows talking about, you know, the issues of how this hack occurred, but they didn't really talk about the fact that there's tools out there on the cloud that allow you, the cloud host, to modify your account without your knowledge. That shouldn't happen. I don't care what tool you've got there. Even if you're doing it with the person on the line, you should trigger that second factor to say to the person, you know, if the person calls in to Twitter and says, hey, I need to change my email address and it's not working, and you get on with Twitter support, which, of course, I don't even think there is a live Twitter support, but whatever. You should be able to have that, when that address is changed, the notification should come to your second factor and say, hey, is this okay? Whether it be your phone. Now, I saw people talk about maybe this is a big simjacking incident. Simjacking we've talked about before, where the second factor would come through to your cell phone, right? And if your cell phone had been simjacked, the bad guy would have access to your SIM because he ported it through maybe AT&T or Verizon. There's internal guys that have been compromised over and over in simjacking at these cellular companies where they actually participate willingly in stealing people's phone numbers by simply simjacking the phones, porting them over to the bad guy's phone, so that second factor would go to the bad guy. That's why we talk about the Titan security keys. There's a couple of them out there that we've talked about where you have a physical key that is on your person, and that's very hard to actually break because you've got it. The bad guys can't do anything about it. So connecting to a second factor that's physical on your keychain or it's a Bluetooth device within proximity of your person is much more powerful now these days than a text. So you hear these guys talking about the issues that occurred, and you know, nobody's bringing up the fact that nobody should be that people aren't afraid of the fact that the accounts have been modified without your knowledge. You know, Elon Musk didn't get a second factor notice. So what happened? So feel free to get online. We'll refresh the screen here and see who's on the line. Want to do that, Bob?
Yeah.
Unfortunately, by the fact that we're not in the studio, we can't see Matt. Ah, there you all are. There are four calls on the line. So let's go right to your calls. We're going to go to Charlie in Rocky Hill first. What's going on, Charlie?
Hello?
Charlie, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Good morning. What's up?
I have a Dell computer. Okay?
All right.
And if I shut the computer down or, God forbid, lose power, I have to take and unplug the computer from the back of the computer and unplug it from the wall, and I have to plug it back in, and it could take me four or five times trying it during throughout the day to get the computer so I can push the on button for it to restart.
Wow. Any ideas?
My first guess, and it's only a guess because it could be a number of things, would be your power supply is getting ready to fail. And, you know, it's weak. I mean, it may not be the issue, but that would be my first guess.
How old's the machine?
I've seen that behavior before.
Is it an old machine, Charlie?
Yeah, it's about 8-10 years old.
Yeah. Makes sense. Especially if it's power related where you have to unplug it, like Bob said, and plug it back in. Is the computer normally in a sleep state, or is it in a, it's always powered on, I assume?
Yeah, I leave it powered on and it goes into a sleep state.
Yeah. So maybe it is the fact that the power supply is not able to kick the whole thing on from a dead stop.
Well, the other thing it could be, now that you keep it on and it goes into a sleep state, is it may be that the hard disk is set to go to sleep after and shut off after a certain amount of time. So you might want to go into power options and set the hard drive to turn off never. I mean, I've seen that crash a lot of them. But,
right.
And a lot of times it's not unusual. It's a pretty common problem. A lot of computers don't want to come out of sleep, especially if they go into deep sleep, hibernate.
So he's plugging it in and it's not coming up because you think it's still in a sleep state.
Right.
Okay, so I should go to what now?
Power options. Just click on the start menu and just type in power options, and it'll probably come up with power plan or power one thing or another, and you can change. You can go into the advanced settings and
make sure the hard drive's set to never sleep.
Okay.
And try that.
All right, I'll try that, see if that works.
Yeah, otherwise, Charlie, power supply may need to be replaced, so feel free to look at that, too.
Okay, I appreciate it.
If you can find it, eight years old.
Yeah, well, with Dell, they're pretty much proprietary, so.
Yeah, you have to find it, you know, find it on eBay or something like that. I wouldn't spend too much money on an eight-year-old computer, okay?
Right.
All right, Charlie,
All
good
right,
luck.
Great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Believe it or not, we have a second Charlie on the line in Newington. What's going on, Charlie?
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you, sir?
Good. I'm trying to configure my OpenDNS stuff. And when I go through and it says to clear the Windows DNS, the DNS cache.
Yeah.
What version of Windows or which version do I use? Because they're all different depending on the operating system.
You're not messing with that.
Well, the cache, your cache you want to clear is the same. Doesn't matter what version of Windows that you have. You would open a command prompt and type in ipconfig /flushDNS. It's a command line. That's all you need to do. I mean,
Shouldn't even need to do it. I mean, it shouldn't even be something you necessarily need to do. So as if you configure OpenDNS IPs in your network settings and save them, shut the computer down, reboot, bring it back up, and that's going to clear your cache. But you can run the command if you wish to flush it without rebooting, but you shouldn't need to. Rebooting will take care of it. You need to reboot so you get the new IPs that you properly. I think it's best to reboot. I mean, it might work dynamically, but I'd rather reboot, get a clean start, and see if the DNSs have changed. And then you can do the test, internetbadguys.com, see if you get blocked. And if you do, you're set up.
Are those the DNS settings that are in the router or in the Windows configuration?
So if you've configured it in your router to have to hand out the OpenDNS IPs, then you have nothing to do in your computer. Leave it as it is, because that means anybody who comes into your network, whether it be a phone, a laptop, will get the new DNS settings that you set up in the router. So you shouldn't have to do anything on your PC.
So I don't have to flush the cache either?
If you've configured the DNS settings and you haven't rebooted your machine, you should reboot your machine, right? So you get the new DNS settings from the router. If you've done that, you're going to be all set.
Okay.
So I'm glad you're configuring it out there, Charlie. Good job.
I'll see what happens.
All right.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Go ahead, Bob.
Have a good day.
Yeah. You too.
Mike got a PC Mag article on how to flush your DNS cache. I'm sure he'll post it. I got one from OpenDNS, which is what he's using.
Yeah.
And it shows my way, and then it says how to clear the DNS cache from your browsers and all different operating systems. So
we'll post them both for you over at Computer Talk. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock on this lovely Saturday morning. Stick around. The lines are all jammed up this morning. It's great. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC are the numbers. Of course, we'll post everything over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's the name of the show.com, which also works. We'll also post it on our Facebook page. And yes, we are live on Facebook Live over at WTIC's Facebook page. If you'd like to check that out, we'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
And we are here till 11 o'clock. And I can hear Bob. He sounds like he's okay. And feel free to get online. I think we have one line open for you. We'll do our best to help you out with your computer problems, comments, questions, and concerns. Let's get right to your calls. You are nice enough to join us on this Saturday morning. We're going to go to Andy in Manchester first. What's going on, Andy?
Yeah, so you know how when you type in a new email address, and the next day when you go to type it in, the computer remembers it? And it comes up right away. So for some reason, like a couple of months ago, my computer's not remembering any of the new email addresses, so I got to go type it all in all over again. It's got hundreds of old ones, but it just stopped saving new ones for no reason.
Well, it's a cache. So there's a little email cache that's set up within your mail client. What client are you using for your email?
Well, I'm AOL.
You're on AOL?
Yeah, that's right.
So you're using the browser?
Yeah.
Okay. So AOL has somehow lost your cache of your email addresses that you frequently use. It can happen in Outlook, too.
What browser is he using to access it?
Did you hear Bob's question? I barely heard it. I'm not sure why he's not talking to the microphone.
What browser? What browser are you using?
It's a radio show, Bob. Which one?
I'm a little bit illiterate. It's just the one with the E symbol.
Yeah, the little E with the halo over it. Or is it the new blue E, the extra blue E, the Edge Chromium browser?
I'm using Edge.
Okay. Yeah, so he's using the Edge browser, and it's within AOL. Most likely they lost your cache. There's not a whole lot you can do about that, but rebuild it because it's browser-based. And the cache actually, I don't even think, well, it could be within your browser. You might have even have cleared your own cache that affected the cache of the email within AOL. But basically, you build that up of regular email addresses that you go to. That cache is built up. Sometimes it gets damaged, especially with Outlook updates. Go ahead.
So, forgive me for being a little. I don't even know what a cache is. But how do I rebuild it? I mean, if it's not.
Well, you'll rebuild it by typing in the email addresses. A cache is exactly as it sounds. Think of a cache of treasure.
Sure.
So you're gonna continue to grow that cache of email addresses as you put them in. And what happened is AOL somehow lost your autofill cache, but what are you going to do?
I think it was the browser.
It's the browser.
Is there a way to get it to autofill? Because no matter how many times I type the same one, it's not remembering it.
That could be a feature of the new Edge browser that you're using. So maybe try a different browser. Maybe try Chrome or Firefox. Go ahead.
I got a link, the how to manage autofill in the Edge browser.
Okay. So we have a link we can put up there for you that Edge has a setting, and maybe the new version of Edge lost your cache. Maybe.
So the new version of Edge is based on Chromium, by the way.
Right.
Yeah.
So we'll put a link up here for you. Go ahead.
You're going to put the link up on the website?
It'll be on the website for you to look at. However, you know, I would try maybe a different browser too, just to see if a different browser produces a better result for you.
Right. And what's your website? Because I'm driving right now. What do I look at when I get
the name of the show? .com. ComputerTalkWithTab.com.
All right. Sounds good.
All right. Good luck.
Thank you.
Yeah. Bye-bye. Unfortunately, it's hard to manage every time, you know, the application you're using changes, whether it be an Edge browser, Chrome browser, Firefox. They change something. They could break, in this case, autofill is what it's called, and you lose your settings. Same things when you upgrade Outlook versions. You can lose your autofill. There used to be no way to get it back. Now you can actually back up the autofill, right, Bob? The autofill database in Outlook, you can back up and migrate it to the next level.
Yes, you can.
So in the old days, you couldn't. You just lose it, and you'd have attorneys yelling at you. I lost all my autofill. Okay, you got to build it up again. I didn't write the software. In AOL's case, who knows? Maybe they broke it themselves, or the Edge folks broke it.
Or an update.
By updating, yeah, exactly. So let's go on to Paul in Burlington next. What's going on, Paul?
Hi, good morning. Thank you for taking my call.
Our pleasure.
I have a Dell laptop, and a couple of weeks ago, I changed internet providers. The laptop will not recognize my new Wi-Fi. My phones and my iPad easily recognized the new Wi-Fi. I also took my laptop to my daughter's house. It immediately recognized the Wi-Fi at her house.
Yep.
But for some reason, I just can't get the Wi-Fi, the laptop to recognize the new Wi-Fi.
All right. This has to do with gigahertz. This has to do with the actual radio broadcast of the Wi-Fi, I think. So you've already proven your Wi-Fi works at your daughter's house. So
correct.
Most likely the new service providers did not spin up either the 2.4 gigahertz Wi-Fi for you or the 5 gigahertz or vice versa. And your laptop is only looking for one of them. I don't know which one. Let's assume it's looking for 2.4. And they didn't spin up the 2.4 gigahertz radio on your device, and your laptop can't find it. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Okay.
It makes sense. How do I fix it?
So you need to go to your configuration on your new internet provider's device that I assume they provided for you.
The modem?
The modem router device I assume they gave you, or do you have your own router?
No, they gave me I have their modem, their new modem.
Right. So here's what you probably want to do to make it quicker. Go online with their support and tell them what you're dealing with, unless you've already done this.
I haven't done that.
Okay. And say, hey, guys, I'm having a trouble with my laptop. I suspect one of the Wi-Fi SSIDs is not in a 2.4 or 5 gigahertz range. Most of them give you both.
Mm-hmm.
And can you help me turn on, and they'll turn it on remotely, the one you're missing.
Okay.
Now, it could also be that your laptop is so old, it doesn't see either of them.
It's only about 4 to 5 years old.
All right. Then it should see both.
I don't consider that too old.
I agree.
Why did the three Apple products recognize it, I guess?
Well, great question. So the newer the device, the smarter it'll be. So if the Apple product says, you know what, I can run on 2.4 or 5 if I feel like it. Oh, I don't see a 2.4 available. I'm going to go and connect to the 5. Your laptop, however, might not be smart enough to make that choice. So you need to see. You can always check on your Wi-Fi configuration of your laptop to see if it can support 5G or 2.4 to see which one you're missing.
Okay.
But clearly when you connect to your daughter's, it's one or the other.
Okay. All right.
All right.
I'll try that. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Have a good day. Bye-bye.
You too. Bye-bye. All right. Let's try to go to Doug in Chester next. What's going on, Doug?
Hey, good morning. Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I hope all is well.
All is
I have a question about Alexa.
Uh-huh.
It's kind of technical. I don't know how much you guys know about it. I'm sure you're like way more versed in it than I am.
Not necessarily. I'll stay away from Alexa. I don't like having some chick listening in on my entire life.
Yeah, I've read a lot about that, and it kind of fluctuates over the years and everything. Supposedly, it's supposed to be better now, but who really knows? But anyway, so I have a Bose Soundbar 700 with Alexa built in. Okay.
Yeah.
And the Bose app is really user friendly once you learn how to use it.
Yeah.
And I can configure my cable box to work in concert with the Bose, which is directly connected via HDMI to my TV.
Yeah.
So I could talk for hours about it. I troubleshooted it for like days.
Yikes.
And
well, it is COVID times. We have nothing to do, so I understand.
True. And so the thing is, like, I have it muted right now so I can say Alexa. So I go, Alexa, I go, like, Alexa, tune to Smithsonian Channel. And then sometimes it goes to the Comcast 1222, which is the Olympic channel.
Mm-hmm.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
And then, like, some mornings it works, some mornings it doesn't. Now, I just did a cable box refresh, and I'm going to, like, test it out again. But yesterday, like, there's so many variables. It's like you have to speak assertively and precise.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, I don't know if I'm making the point, or I just wanted to see what you guys might think about it. Like, it's certainly far from, like, 100%. Like, it kind of, like, works when it wants to.
I agree.
Thanks. I talked to Amazon about it. I talked to Bose about it. And I've heard, like, so many different things. And then yesterday, I finally got it working, like, totally perfect. And then here we are, like, early this morning. I'm, like, trying to test it out, and it's, like, doing the same thing. The cable box refresh, so. But it's interesting. If you have a device that's not a dedicated Amazon brand Alexa device, like, such as the Bose Soundbar 700, it has Alexa built in. It's, like, separate from Amazon.
Yeah.
Getting the ultimate, like, exact precision answer from any of those companies is, like, really tough, because there's, like, too many technologies, like, all involved in certain products.
You're exactly right with that last statement. That's the issue, is that all these companies want to own you. So Bose is saying, don't go to some Alexa-based speaker. Use our speaker, because we make Bose better than they do, and we'll stick the Alexa thing on there. They'll pay a royalty to Amazon, and that way you bought the Bose rather than the Alexa equivalent, I guess, soundbar, if there is one out there by Amazon, which will be out there, right? So it's not in Amazon's best interest to make it work really well with Bose, you know? It just reminds us of Microsoft. You know, why is Microsoft used to fight with Netscape? They wouldn't let Netscape as a browser even operate well on their operating system. I wonder why they did that. They're not friends. And again, you're trying to have
competitors.
They're exactly competitors. So I would tell you, if you could have something other than your Bose soundbar be the one answering the Alexa call, maybe does your cable box have Alexa built in too? I don't know.
No, it's Comcast X1, and it has this really cool feature. You just press the voice button on the remote, and it, like, totally works flawlessly.
Then stop using Alexa. Why do you want to let Jeff Bezos know what you're watching?
Good point. Ultimately, I guess, out of curiosity, I just wanted to verify to myself and to other people that I could share with, like, does it work 100%? And the answer is obviously not.
No, come on. You've heard all the Siri stories and Alexa. I mean, there's so many Alexa stories. Even just getting our station to play the right way, you had to say a phrase a certain way for Alexa to tune to WTIC.
Oh, yeah. It's like, I do it every day. I'm like, Alexa, tune to, or Alexa, play WTIC. That, like, works totally cool.
You know what? You might find yourself in a promo thanks to that comment. You do it every day. We like that. We like that here at WTIC.
Thanks a lot, guys. But here's the other thing. I integrated a Logitech Harmony Elite remote.
Nice.
And then, like, Logitech didn't even know the right
skill to apply to the Alexa platform and the Amazon Alexa app, right. And they have like two different skills, the blue one and the red one.
Yep.
So the blue one works in concert with the Logitech Harmony Hub when you do not have an Alexa device that's directly connected to a TV.
Man, what?
So, I mean, I opened up a huge box of confusion. And then when I enabled the blue Harmony skill for the integration to change by voice, and it's all linked up to the Harmony remote and everything works cool.
Yeah.
Then this new thing called themes that I'm trying to learn all of a sudden appeared on my Amazon Alexa app, and then everything got totally screwed up. And then, like, Amazon's telling me that I have to enable the Bravia app for my Sony TV, and then I have two Sony TVs. And then when I did that, all my Sony TVs got screwed up.
You just want to watch TV, man. I would tell you to stop messing
with
Alexa.
Oh, yeah, I love home theaters now, yeah.
Well, that's good. I mean, I would tell you to punt it all. This is what I would do. Punt it all, get an NVIDIA Shield, punt the cable box, and use an NVIDIA Shield. You can talk to the remote if you want, and stream everything. That'll add a little monkey wrench to your life.
Thanks. NVIDIA is like video cards, right? So what
NVIDIA
was
is a
that?
Video card, yeah. It's a great box for streaming. But, yeah, you're trying to interact all these devices into one. I've got a little control, a little clicker that, you know, everybody can use, and we don't have anywhere near the amount of issues you have with your home theater. You got to simplify.
Exactly. Like, before I dedicate myself into all this new home automation stuff, which I kind of really, really like, I would like to do, yeah. But it's like I wanted it to do, like, three simple things. Turn the TV off and on, adjust the volume, which it does perfectly, and then change the channel from my cable box. And
that's a bridge too far. It's a bridge too far, man. Yeah.
But if it can't do that, why should I spend all this money on, like, smart home stuff?
Exactly. That's why, okay. I say, honey, can you close the shade? She gets up. She closes the shade. The sun's no longer in my eyes. It's my home. It's my home automation.
Oh, that's really sweet of her. That's really, really sweet.
It is. You know, it's all nice. Right. That's why we keep her around.
I wonder what she says about you. All right.
Oh, don't worry. I'm in big trouble. All right. Thanks, Doug.
Thanks, guys. Have a safe weekend. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, you too. Bye-bye. I want to step out for a quick break. Get back to more of your calls. Feel free to get online. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk with Tab. We're here till 11 o'clock. Stick around. Then after at 11, Dr. Alessi will be in with Healthy Rounds. He'll give you a second opinion on your health advice. And then Garden Talk will be here as well. So great afternoon of information for you, hopefully. Let's go to your calls really quickly. Here we go to our resident groupie, Danny. What's going on, Danny?
Hey, guys.
Hey.
Listen, finally bought a Chromebook last week from Best Buy.
You got more of a computer than you've ever had. Good for you.
Yes. Well, no, my wife does. I don't. And it came with a free download installation of WebRoot.
Oh, good.
Now, I know you always say good things about that. Does a Chromebook need that, or is that good to put on it?
Sure.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Free is good, too.
It's
only going to be free for about 90 days, though.
What's that?
It's only going to be free for like 90 days.
Oh, okay. Now, another question. You know, she's got to create a Google account and everything.
Yeah.
Because we looked at the information on, you know, setting it up and stuff. We should do that on the Chromebook itself, so that way that account and password and all that information is only on the Chromebook, not on her other unsecure.
It won't matter. You can do it anywhere within a Google browser to create a Google account, but you can do it through the Chromebook if you wish.
And that way, that would be the most secure way, because we're just going to use this to go to her retirement account and stuff. It's just going to be dedicated for that.
All right, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, good. One other quick thing. I got an email from Starlink, from Mr. Musk, asking me for my address to determine if I may possibly be able to participate in the beta program of the Starlink internet system.
Yeah. Nice.
Yeah, for $1 a month.
That's a good deal. If it works, that's great. I have heard some kind of negative stories lately on NPR about Starlink and all the noise they're making up there as far as looking at celestial bodies with these.
Imagine that. It was negative
satellites
on NPR.
Well, they like electric cars and stuff. I mean,
yeah,
they would think they'd like them. My curiosity is, why did he paint these things so brightly? Why didn't he paint them like black?
Well, he never anticipated that, and they put up some black ones now, and that turned out to be a problem because it absorbs too much heat and they're getting too hot. See, that's the thing. They have to be reflective so they don't overheat.
Gotcha. Makes
so
sense.
What they're trying to do is they're working on a compromise. They're working on an actual shade, like an umbrella that's going to go out over it and shade it but not have it black.
All right.
I mean, he'll work it out.
Yeah. I mean, eventually after he gets 1,000 of them up there, he'll be like, we should have painted them plaid. Who knows?
Yeah, and they're bringing the astronauts back on the 2nd of August.
Nice. Yeah, it's been very successful. That's awesome.
That's going to be very tense. I've already got a knot in my stomach.
Already?
Oh, yeah. Because if anything goes wrong with that, that's, you know, God forbid anything happened there and they lose the astronauts. That's the end of...
No. They knew what they signed up for. That's why they're heroes.
That is what they signed up for. All right, guys. Thanks a lot.
All right, Danny. But, yeah, I mean, you go up and decide to be an astronaut. You know what you signed up for. You're not expecting, stuff can happen.
I think that's more risky than jumping out of an airplane.
Oh, yeah.
And I wouldn't do that either.
Perfectly good airplane? No, I wouldn't do that either. So we don't have enough time to take a call yet before the top of the hour. So hang on, guys. Hang on, John, and anybody else on the line, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. But I want to bring this up for you guys. Just back on Wednesday of this past week, Microsoft updated their email client and their mail client, as it were, Outlook. And it affected every Outlook client, whether you happen to be on an Exchange server on-prem or, yes, of course, in the cloud too with 365. So no matter what happened, Microsoft broke all your Outlook clients, drove our company nutty because we have, tons of clients that we support, and they're calling in because their Outlook stopped working. Literally, if you shut your Outlook down, you couldn't bring it back up again. Thanks to this update Microsoft put out, immediately crashed. And so we'll put a link up here as far as what happened here. But, guys, you got to test this stuff. You just can't break everybody's email in one fell swoop like that. Somebody's got to test it. I'm not sure who's on that team. And clearly, maybe they're working from home and they're getting distracted by Netflix while they're testing the Outlook client update. I have no idea. But something's not working. We'll put a link up there for you guys, and you can read the story. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock. Feel free to stick around. 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. Everything we've talked about has been posted live by Mike G over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's also on our Facebook page. And speaking of Facebook, if Mark Zuckerberg deems our live feed worthy, it'll still be running over at WTIC's Facebook page. We'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.